This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ودخل جنته وهو ظالم لنفسه قال ما أظن أن تبيد هذه أبدا صدق الله العظيم. So that is verse 35, and we had commenced the discussion. And just to recap, we are in the process of discussing these the incident pertaining to two companions, friends slash brothers, as suggested by some scholars of tafsir. And we had unpacked certain verses, verse 33, 34, and the beginning of 35, how life unfolded differently for the one and for the latter. But now they meet up years later. One is proud, arrogant, wealthy, affluent, anchored financially. The other one is humble, simple, living hand to mouth, living a very basic life. And the Quran says the arrogant, the owner of the orchard, enters his orchard. وَدَخَلَ and he entered. جَنَّتَهُ his orchard. Ruhul Ma'ani, Allama Alusi Baghdadi says the context of the ayah is suggestive of the fact that he kind of held his brother's hand and he said, come in, come see, come have a look. And then Allah interjects by saying, وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِ, that his arrogance, disobedience, shenanigans was harming himself and he could not harm Allah in any way. Just like your virtue is benefiting yourself, it doesn't benefit Allah in any way. Now he, from arrogance in his body language, the arrogance goes onto his speech. And to quote verbatim what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verse 35, he says, he looks at his orchard, he looks at his empire, he looks at his wealth and his assets. Qala, he says, ma adhunnu an tabida hadhihi abada. I cannot imagine and I cannot foresee ruin or destruction striking my assets ever. I simply cannot logically see how it's possible. Wow, can you see the arrogance here? I cannot see how this empire of mine can crumble. Again, I wish you could appreciate and hear the Arabic directly and not via the translation. Ma is nafiya in Arabic. Amongst you have ma nafiya, you have mausula, you have istifham in Arabic grammar. But here, of course, it is nafiya, to negate. Dhanna yadhunnu, to think, to assume. Sa'a means a watch, a moment, an hour, and it also refers to qiyamah. Yas'alunaka 'anis sa'ati ayyana mursaha. They ask you regarding the qiyamah, when it will occur. Ma adhunnu an tabida. Sa'a is coming in the next verse. Ma adhunnu an tabida. Bada yabidu. To be destroyed, to perish, to be ruined. I cannot imagine, for all I care, I don't assume, I doubt, no, not at all, my empire, my assets will never be destroyed. Tabida hadhihi, these assets, abada, ever. I'm so covered, I'm so protected, I'm so insulated, I'm so fortified, I'm so insured that nothing can come to me. Wow. How many empires have we not seen, my brother? And how many affluent people and how many anchored individuals sat in their office, sat in their thrones, thinking this is here forever? I'm reminded of that profound quotation. Oh my word. Again, I wish you knew Arabic. So I read it in Nafhatul Arab. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, who was the second Umar, right? Someone praising Umar ibn Abdul Aziz said, Shimaluka khayrun min yamini siwaka. Shimaluka khayrun min yamini siwaka. Wow. Generally in Arabic, the right hand is used in the context of virtue, of greatness, of blessings, of accomplishment, of feat. And you contrast that with the left hand, which is not used in a like manner. So a person's right hand is more productive. in his youth he's more productive, in the day he is, his achievements are more, in his health he can achieve more, at night, in old age, at the weak part of his life he cannot be so productive. You often sit in your latter part of life and you think, like, how did I do this in my youth? My mom often says, and may Allah reward her, and I'm sure all our mothers will say that, you know what, as they age, they cannot imagine how they seem to so many kids with the challenges, the difficulties, etc. But Allah made it possible. Allah made it possible. So someone paying tribute to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz said, Shimaluka khayrun min yamini siwaka. That your left hand is more productive than the right hand of others. Your left hand. In other words, your dull moments, your weak moments, you achieve more than others would achieve in their bright moments. Umar bin Abdul Aziz was Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah. He was a unique person. During his reign, I'm just having a flash here. Fakhruddin Razi, rahimahullah, speaks about this in Tafsir al-Kabir, and I read this myself. That a person came to the well, and he seen that the wolf and the sheep were drinking water from a common well. So he said, "Mata istalaha dhi'bu wash-shat?" And since when did the wolf and the sheep make peace? Since when did the wolf and the sheep? Wolf and sheep were drinking, unimaginable. Today you cannot get brothers sitting together. You cannot get spouses sitting together. You cannot get, cousins sitting together and having a healthy discussion and a meal. Mata istalaha dhi'bu wash-shat? So a reply was given to him, Hina istalaha ra'i ma'a mawla. When the shepherd made peace with his creator, then it had positive ripple effects on earth, that the creation had unity amongst themselves. So a person had built a beautiful house and an empire, and Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah came by. And then they asked Umar bin Abdul Aziz, what do you feel? What's your take? How's my empire? How's my kingdom? How's my wealth? How's my affluence? How's my palatial palace? What do you see about this here? And you know what? You cannot imagine. I mean, mentioned this year, it just comes to my mind. I was in a particular country and I was invited on a lecture tour, went to a person's house and needed to use the washroom, and after relieving myself, you're looking around you for the regular, basic, average, a tap and probably a utensil so that you could, clean yourself, but only to discover here that there is like a whole keypad. There is a keypad with options on it. Light rinse, thorough rinse, cleaning process, urine, stool, dry up. Like a whole keypad here, and now you're sitting in the loo in the washroom. Obviously, you are the chief guest, so it's a bit embarrassing to like really scream out to ask the host if he can come here, and you're realizing that what a sophisticated process, in place, basically to relieve yourself, or to just purify yourself. So coming back to this incident of Umar bin Abdul Aziz, this man had this wealth and this affluence, and he asked him, what do you feel about my wealth and my kingdom and my empire? So Umar bin Abdul Aziz, I'm like almost don't want to translate this here, and forgive me, I'm going to have to translate it, but you just have to absorb this in Arabic. He said, هَذَا سُرُورٌ لَوْلَا أَنَّهُ غُرُورٌ وملك لولا أنه هلك ونعيم لولا أنه عديم وفرح لو لم يعقبه ترح ولذات لو لم تقترن بآفات وكرامة لو صحبتها سلامة هذا سرور لولا أنه غرور ونعيم لولا أنه عديم وملك لولا أنه هلك وفرح لو لم يعقبه ترح ولذات لو لم تقترن بآفات وكرامة لو صحبتها سلامة. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. Arabic is another language, my brother. Show me one language that intrigues you, fascinates you, mesmerizes you, even when you don't understand it. In fact, any other language, like, listen, get to the point. I don't know what you're saying. You're just rattling away. I don't know what you're saying. Translate. But subhanAllah, the beauty. And then as you go on to hadith and then on to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is just now of another level altogether. So Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah said to the man, you know your kingdom, your house, your palace, hadha surur. This is a definite cause of happiness. Lawla annahu ghurur. Provided it is not coupled with arrogance and deception. Don't be deceived by your empire. Every president who was sworn in, who was inaugurated, thought his period will never end. His term will never end. My 4 years will last forever. I'll have an extension. Everyone who was sworn in thought this is it. I'm here. This is the world. I will rule forever. Hadha surur, a source of happiness. Lawla annahu ghurur, provided you're not deceived. Hadha sururun lawla annahu ghururun. Wa na'imun lawla annahu adimun. And yes, it is a form of luxury, provided it will not perish one day. These are different mutaradifat and synonyms, which obviously just enhances the presentation of it. Surur, happiness. Lawla annahu ghurur, it mustn't deceive you. Wa na'imun, comfort. Innal abarara lafi na'im, wa innal fujjara lafi jahim. The pious will be in comfort and pleasure. May Allah make us amongst them, the real eternal pleasure. Na'imun, it's a source of comfort. You got ease, you got comfort, you got luxury. You can wash your hands, you can relax, you can recline. Your bed is like this, your pillow is like this here. Your amenities are like this here. Oh wow, you have it all going. You know what? By the press of, it's just beyond. Your water is filtered so many times and the rest of it. So na'imun, it's a comfort. Lawla annahu adim, provided it will never be destroyed or it will never perish. Wa mulkun, lawla annahu hulkun, and you can surely call it a kingdom, an empire, again, provided it remains eternally. The truth be told, neither the empire will remain eternally, nor will you remain in it forever. So either it will perish while you are alive, or you will perish and it will live on after you and somebody else will inherit it. وَمُلْكٌ لَوْلَا أَنَّهُ هُلْكٌ وَفَرَحٌ لَوْ لَمْ يَعْقِبُهُ تَرَحٌ. And it is a source of excitement, jubilation, bliss and happiness, provided it is free from any tragedy, calamity or difficulty. How often a happy moment, a blissful moment, a joyous moment, a recreational moment gets transformed into a moment of somber and sadness. May Allah protect one and all. You are on a boat ride as a family, you are moving nice, it's wonderful, and suddenly one wave comes, jolts the boat, capsizes, and then you have fatalities, casualties, and lives are lost. A family went happily for a function, and then corpses were flown over or brought back. May Allah protect one and all. The aim is not to say don't enjoy. Enjoy and rejoice cautiously and carefully, because at any time, anything can happen. So he says, mulkun lawla annahu hulkun, farahun law lam ya'qibhu tarahun, waladhat law lam taqtarin bi'afat, waladhat, ladhat, it's pleasure, it's indulgence, it's excitement. Oh, what a meal. Oh, it is sumptuous, it's scrumptious. It's finger licking. This dessert is decadent. This is just amazing. And then suddenly, it just got stuck in your throat. And then you're gasping for breath. And then wait, you know what? I'm having pain. I'm having difficulty. And then call the surgeon, call the physician, call the cardiologist, or do this or do that. Eating the best of meat or the best of seafood and a bone got stuck, or something happened, a freak accident happened. Well, at that, it's a source of comfort. لَوْ لَمْ تَقْتَرِنْ بِآفَاتٍ, provided there is no afat and calamities. لَوْ لَمْ تَقْتَرِنْ بِآفَاتٍ وَكَرَامَةٌ لَوْ صَحِبَتْهَا سَلَامًا, and a source of honor and respect if it can remain safe and you can remain young. So in other words, he told him constantly, excitement, but joy but, happiness but. In other words, don't be proud and arrogant. Okay, we move on. Verse number 36. The arrogant moves. The arrogance goes worse from one to the other. First one was, I cannot see how this will be destroyed. No, no, no. I'm the big boy here. I'm running. I'm in control. Again, I've heard from my dad, with the passage of time, you see how things, people who were once in their glory days, them or their own children become recipients of zakat. Become recipients of zakat. The alternation, the rotation, the turning of time. The message for me, my brother, I'm not even talking to you. I'm saying for myself, may Allah save me from pride. And this is what I try to do, and I'm advocating it to one and all. You know what? إِنَّمَا الْبَلَاءُ بِالْمَنْتِقِ إِنَّمَا الْبَلَاءُ بِالْمَنْتِقِ As they say in Arabic, that, you know what? The thing that gets us into problems is our tongue. We say things and we don't realize how we hurt. We said something and we don't realize how proud we were. Immediately give charity. Oh Allah, forgive me. Allah, I'd overstepped the mark. And not Allah, if I have overstepped the mark, forgive me. I have definitely overstepped the mark. When I was talking in my corporate meeting and I was having a motivational talk with my employees, I came across too loud and too arrogant. I spoke about my humble days, and then quickly I started moving on to how things changed, and I climbed the economic ladder, and I didn't realize how I was trumpeting myself, and I was, speaking how great my skill and my know-how and my understanding is. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, don't strike me. Don't strike me. I've heard a person mocking someone, who in his family life was challenged. And later after that, I seen some serious ripple effects in the life of that person. How his marriages broke up and how he was challenged in many other ways. إِنَّمَا الْبَلَاءُ بِالْمَنْتِقِ Today you look at, he's a worker, he's a laborer, man. This man, where will I ever need him? Listen, my brother, you're not in control. And I'm not in control. The being who's in control. What did the Arabic poet say? لَا تَتْرُكِ التَّقْوَى اتِّكَالًا عَلَى النَّسَبِ لَا تَتْرُكِ التَّقْوَى اتِّكَالًا عَلَى النَّسَبِ فَقَدْ رَفَعَ الْإِسْلَامُ سَلْمَانَ فَارِسٍ وَقَدْ وَضَعَ الشِّرْكُ الشَّرِيفَ أَبَا لَهْبِ Don't abandon piety. Because you know what? I'm financially secured. I come from a very prominent family. It was taqwa that elevated the Persian Salman to the extent that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ahl al-Bayt, Salman is a household member. And it was arrogance and reliance on the nobility of lineage, coupled with polytheism, disbelief and arrogance, that dishonored, degraded and humbled the so-called honorable Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab was an Arab. Abu Lahab was a Qurayshi. Abu Lahab was a Sayyid. Abu Lahab was known as Abu Lahab because of how handsome he was. So Lahab means flame. And his complexion was fair. His cheeks were red. He had a flamy cheek, a reddish complexion. He had beauty. He had lineage. He had ancestry. He had nobility. But he had arrogance with him. And it was that arrogance that dropped him right down. And Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu, Mali asma'u daffan alayka wara'i fil jannah. Bilal, what's the matter? I just hear you tagging behind me in Jannah. Bilal, what's the matter? I just hear you tagging behind me in Jannah. So we move on to verse number 36. What does he say now, the arrogant brother? وَمَا أَذُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمًا And for all I care, this Qiyamah doesn't make sense. I'm paraphrasing. Wow. Are you listening to yourself? Are you listening to yourself? Do you realize how arrogant? And again, I'm talking to myself. I keep on saying this to myself and to my family. Don't say, oh Allah, keep us humble. Because we claim in humility. Allah, make us humble. Allah, make us humble. Allah, make us humble. May Allah make me humble. I cry to Allah every day that I'm unable to answer my emails that I receive, my WhatsApp messages, my lecture requests, and so many other requests of intervention, that Ya Allah, let it not be that these overwhelming requests and my inability to oblige is termed as arrogance on my part. And you give me the strength to reply, to be humble, to be amenable, because in the end, everything belongs in Allah's control. And Allah can drop anyone off at any time. Allah can drop anyone at any time. He's going to preserve his deen. Fortunate are those who he uses as part of his plan of preservation. We're not preserving the deen of Allah. He's preserving it. He's preserving his Quran. That poor person, Allah will feed him. The opening verses of the 12 Juz. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. Allah is responsible for the sustenance of every creature. وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا. And he knows the temporary and the permanent location of that individual. So he knows where the sustenance must be conveyed to. And that's the correlation in Kashaf. Allama Zamakhshari has made mention of it. Now, Allah is going to feed him. Am I going to be the fortunate person via whom that sustenance will reach him so that I can be also forgiven in the process? But he won't go hungry. Allah will feed him. Allah will feed him. So coming back to verse 36, continuing with the discussion of this man, and as we mentioned that one of the themes of this chapter is the harm of arrogance, and may Allah save us from arrogance. وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمًا. I don't think, for all I care, by the way it looks, who are you? Who are you to say when will Qiyamah come or it won't come? According to me, this doesn't make sense. What arrogance! And it is the same arrogance today that has translated into intellectual apostasy. No, it doesn't make sense. But who are you? Who am I? What rights do I have? Can your employee interrogate you? Can your employee interrogate you? Why is the shop like this? Why are the hours like this? Why do you? There's the door. Go. So you're an employer. He's an employee. That's his limitations. He cannot trespass this. You're the creation. I'm the creation. I'm a fallible mortal. You're a fallible human. And then we want to cross the boundaries and question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us. وَمَا أَظُنُّ سَاعَةَ قَائِمًا. I don't think Qiyamah will come. This is the continuing with the narrative of the disobedient and the disbelieving brother. وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. Oh my word, this is just getting worse. This is just getting ugly. This is getting poisonous. This is getting venomous. And you know what, my brother, my companion? وَلَئِن. And if perchance, رُدِدْتُ. I am returned to Allah, as you allege there's life after death. So according to me, no. But well, supposedly there is. As bin Wa'il. Right? Khabbab radiallahu anhu had done some work for him. Khabbab radiallahu anhu had done some work for him. So Khabbab radiallahu anhu asked him, you need to pay me my money. So he said, no, I won't pay you. So Khabbab radiallahu anhu said, I've done your work. You need to pay me my due. He said, oh, you're talking about life after death, ne? I'll pay you there in that next world. I'll pay you there. I'll sort you out there. Yeah, okay, there's something called like, I'll sort you out there. Allah reveals, أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ بِآيَاتِنَا وَقَالَ لَأُوتَيَنَّ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا. أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي. Have you seen this arrogant man who disobeys me, denies my verses, وَقَالَ, and then he has the audacity to say, لَأُوتَيَنَّ, I will be given wealth and children. مَالًا أَطَّلَعَ الْغَيْبِ. اِطَّلَعَ. Has he peeped into the unseen that he can make these claims? Does he know what he's talking? كَلَّا سَنَكْتُبُ مَا يَقُولُ وَنَمُدُّ لَهُ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ مَدَّا. Tell him he's getting nothing there. If anything, he's getting double punishments. And he won't get extra wealth and children. He'll lose what he has. وَنَرِثُهُ مَا يَقُولُ وَيَأْتِينَا فَرْدًا. He will come to us single. Once I seen with my own eyes and I just dropped my head in embarrassment. I felt so hurt. A beggar came to someone's door, and I'm overseen this year, and the man was physically challenged. He had a disability. He was on crutches. So you can give. If you cannot give, say a kind word. Qawlum ma'roof. This is Islam. Qawlum ma'roof. A verse of the third juz of the Quran, second chapter, Surah Baqarah. Qawlum ma'roof wa maghfira khayrun min sadaqatin yatba'uha adha. Qawlum ma'roof. A kind word. Or a pardon, khair is better than charity, which is followed by insult and injury. Rather just, you know, I cannot do, or I don't have. In chapter 17, juz 15, Surah Bani Israel, وَإِمَّا تُعْرِضَنَّ عَنْهُمُ ابْتِغَاءَ رَحْمَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكَ تَرُجُوهَا فَقُلْ لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَيْسُورًا. And if you don't have, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then just say a kind word. So the man tells the beggar, the next time you come begging, I'll break your other leg and you won't be crippled, you'll have no legs. My brother, are you listening to yourself? My brother, are you listening to yourself? What did this man say? I cannot see how my wealth will perish. And by the way, this qiyamah doesn't make too much sense to me. مَا أَذُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمَةً وَلَئِنْ رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. And if perchance I'm returned to my Lord, as supposedly you claim, I gave you the incident of Khabbab bin Arat radiallahu anhu with As bin Wa'il. وَكَانَ حَدَّادًا. He was a blacksmith, Khabbab radiallahu anhu. Khabbab. We know who Khabbab radiallahu anhu was. And how he persevered and endured in the cause of Islam. Rahimallahu Khabbaban. And then he says, if perchance I'm returned to Allah as you say, La ajidanna khayran minha munqalaba. Oh, look at the emphasis. La ajidanna. I'm pretty certain. It's pretty obvious. It's almost like a given. I will have a better abode there than what I have here. Wow. Wow. How's that for logic? So wait, hang on. Look at my wealth. You gave charity and lost everything. I got it all covered here. Number one. Number two, I don't think this can ever be destroyed. I'm just too well. I'm covered here. I'm just too well covered here. You know what? Nothing can happen to my business. Nothing can happen to my empire. Nothing can happen to my travels. Nothing can happen to my... Nothing. This is what I think. I'm so well in my mind. You know what? I've covered few generations here. Okay. And then going forward, this qiyamah thing, actually, I don't buy into this theory and this concept of qiyamah and everything. But if perchance, this is what he's saying, if perchance there is qiyamah, لا أجدن خيرا منها منقلبا. I am certain I'll get more there than you. Why? Because nobody favors his enemy, and nobody deprives his beloved. Right? You don't favor your enemy. So if I am a foe and an enemy to Allah, then why would He give me so much? And if He's given me so much in a transitory world, then I'm sure in the actual abode He'll give me much more. Right, one scholar gave a beautiful analogy of this here. You have a parrot and there's a rat you want to trap. The parrot or the fish, right? I have a fish tank and I love my fish tank, and you know, you're on the lights, and while I'm researching, it's quite soothing and comforting, and just to see the fish swimming and the bubbles and the ripples and the color combination and exotic and etc. It's beautiful. It's very therapeutic and comforting, and even the colors, it's quite soothing. So you got to feed it very little, just a pinch of that food, just a pinch. And if you feed it anymore, you kill it. And then the next day you want to trap a rat, and you buy a nice expensive rat. And before, nowadays they put so many other things, but before you put a nice block of cheese, right? And you trap this rat up. So for your parrot, you give it some bread, or you give it some herbs, or you give it some grains, whatever it is. Simple, basic, to keep it alive. And you buy this expensive rat trap with a nice block of cheese, or you put these, look like sweets or candy, but actually they're poisonous. And an onlooker would say, hey, looks like the pet, the rat is the pet. The rat is the pet, because look at how expensive and exclusive the arrangements are made for the rat. But that's to kill it and to trap it. While there, it's all basic and simple. So I think his aim is like he doesn't like the pet or he doesn't like the parrot. No. It's to keep it alive. Feed your fish any more than that pinch and you kill it. So it is a myth, and it is a fallacy, and it is incorrect to assume that because you have more here, Allah is pleased with you and you will have more there. At times, Allah gives to this world to those whom He is pleased with as well. The pious, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Uthman bin Affan, certain prophets, etc. But to claim that because I have, Allah is pleased with me, this is not in order. We'll leave it on this note here. وَمَا أَذُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمَةً وَلَئِنْ رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. that if I return to Allah, then I am optimistic that I will have more. That now concludes the discussion of the arrogant brother, verse 36. Verse 37, now the pious brother responds and retorts. I gave you the perspective of the arrogant brother. Let's wait and see what the pious, Allah-fearing, humble soul has to say. May Allah bless us with humility and save us from arrogance. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.